The lineup of Positive Talk radio shows, and we're glad that you're listening in. Today is Fun Friday, and our next guest is a textbook example of what unintended celebrity and notoriety are. Part of a seemingly typical suburban family, her life was not only turned upside down. In the midst of it all, she was thrust into the public spotlight and both scorned and pitied by strangers around the United States. Mary Jo Buttafuoco met Joey in 1971. They were married. They were both sophomores at high school when they first met. They were married at St. Rose of Lima Church on September the 4th, 1977. Joey worked in the family business, an auto repair business, and Mary Jo worked in a bank. 2 years after they were married, Mary Jo became pregnant with her first child, and in January 1980, the couple's son Paul was born. Joey became part owner of the family business, and Mary Jo became a full-time wife and mother. Joey and Mary Jo moved their family to a house in their hometown of Massapequa, and the couple then enjoyed a quiet suburban type of life in New Jersey. The Buttafuoco's seemingly idyllic life, however, ended abruptly on May 19, 1992, when Mary Jo became the victim of a notorious crime. On that day, Joey's teenage mistress, Amy Fisher, shot Mary Jo in the head with a 25 caliber gun. Mary Jo survived the shooting and returned to private life, and just recently she's written a book. And she explains all in her book titled, Getting It Through My Thick Skull, Why I Stayed, What I Learned, and What Millions of People Involved with Sociopaths Need to Know. Welcome to the show, Mary Jo. How are you today?
Well, hi. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for that intro.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for being on our show. I really greatly appreciate it. So the first question I know my listeners want to know is, why did you stay with Joey for so long, especially after the shooting?
Well, you know, it's not ever a pat answer. Like, I just listened to you sum up 25 years of my life in about a minute, so it's kind of funny. But the bottom line was, after I got shot, I was too sick. I almost died. I had a number of surgeries. My children were very traumatized by the event. This happened right in front of our own home in broad daylight. And, you know, I'm a good Irish Catholic girl that fights through everything and stays in the marriage. But the bottom line, and the reason now I look back all these years why I stayed so long, was because I was married to a sociopath. And by that I mean a very, very good liar who told me he had nothing to do with Amy Fisher, that she was just a customer and she was crazy and he didn't know anything about this and all this stuff. And I believed him.
I see. So, again, in your situation, you probably had no reason at the time not to believe him. But you say that Joey's a sociopath. Pretty strong words. What were your first indications that Joey was a sociopath?
Well, honestly, I always thought that a sociopath was a murderer. I, you know, equated that word with Scott Peterson or Ted Bundy or Charlie Manson. And it was 3 years ago now that my son and I, he's grown man, he was 12 years old when I got shot, we were having a conversation about his father, and what had happened was his father had gone on television with Amy Fisher, and they were touting that they were dating, and they were looking for a reality show, and I was so disgusted, I said for the umpteenth time, why does your father do this? I don't get him. I don't get why he does this stuff. And my son, matter-of-factly, looked at me and said, because he's a sociopath.
12-year-old son said this?
Yeah, our son.
Wow.
Who was at 27 at the time.
Okay.
So I looked at him like, what are you talking about? You know, that's for a madman. And he said, no, Mom, I looked this up. I've been trying to figure out the same thing all of my life. And I looked this up, and Dad is a classic case of a sociopath. So what I did was I went to the computer and I put in the word and I looked it up, and these traits came and all these symptoms came, and it was the answer to the question that I had had for 25 years. It was like, oh my God. And since then, I've gone on this quest to understand more and to try and get it out in the public that a sociopath is not just the person who murders and kills. A sociopath can go through life just charming you, taking everything from you, your money, your health, you know, your jewels. It's a pattern, and it's the how a sociopath comes up is they have no guilt or remorse. Whatever little thing is in our brains that make us feel bad when we do something wrong. The sociopaths don't have the capacity to feel that. And I use Bernie Madoff as an example.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, he robbed people for years and years and years, but he got away with it because he was so charming and affable and people liked him and they gave him his life, their life savings. And he did this for years and years and years. And that's the insidiousness of this mental behavior, is that most of them are just like that. They just go through life lying and cheating and stealing.
I see. We're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody, author of the book Getting It Through My Thick Skull, and of course the whole story behind the Long Island Lolita. I guess my question is, if you've identified that Joey is a sociopath, have you forgiven him?
That was a difficult choice. People probably know that I publicly forgave Amy Fisher for shooting me years after the fact. I mean, it certainly was a process, and I write about it in my book, how I came to that. But it's kind of like with Joe, there was a long time where I felt very deceived, like, wow, I believed you. I married you. I gave you your children. You know, I invested my life in you.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm realizing it was all just a scam and a con. But in saying that, you also say you have to let it go. You have to forgive them and move on. And luckily, I'm at a stage in my life where our children are grown up, so I don't have to have any contact with him at all.
No, that's a good thing. And we're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody. And that's a path that I wanted to go down. What effect did this whole thing have on your children, being thrust into the limelight, into the public eye, as it was?
Well, now they are 30 and 27 years old, and absolutely, this has traumatized them. I see it now in their adult life. I hear more stories now from them that they didn't tell me when they were little, or they couldn't, you know, they couldn't talk about when they were little, and they'll tell me, I remember when this happened. You know, for example, my daughter got hurt, she said, when she was like 10 or 11 years old, badly hurt, and she didn't tell me about it. And I said to her, why didn't you tell me? And she said, because you were going through so much pain yourself, I just didn't want to bother you with it.
Wow.
And little things like this that were just over the years that has come to my attention. And I know they have certain issues for sure now as adults because of this. It was very traumatizing for them.
Absolutely. We're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody. She's the author of the new book, Getting It Through My Skull. She's also been thrust unfairly into the public limelight. And when we come back, Mary Jo, I want to talk about the long path that you've had getting to where you are today, where you could write the book and talk about it in public. And when we come back, for those of you that are listeners out there, we've got 4 McConnell's Ice Cream single scoop servings to give away. That is 4 just in time for the 4th of July holiday weekend. And we'll give those back as soon as we get back from the break. Stay tuned.
Yolanda's Mexican Cafe has been serving Ventura County the finest in Mexican food and drink for 25 years. Visit one of their 4 family-friendly locations in Oxnard at 1601 South Victoria Avenue, Ventura at 2753 East Main Street, Camarillo at 86 Daly Drive, and in Simi Valley at 590 East Los Angeles Avenue. They've been voted the best margaritas, best happy hour, best Mexican food, and best salsa bar in Ventura County in a survey by the Ventura Star newspaper and the Reporter News magazine over the last 10 years. Each one of their restaurants has its own personality, with beautiful decor and also beautiful artwork. Yolanda's friendly staff is always available to assist in providing an enjoyable experience when you dine with them. Yolanda's has been serving their customers the finest Mexican food since February 1982. Please visit their website at yolandasmexicancafe.com to see the menu choices. Come share in the experience of Yolanda's Mexican Cafe, the best Mexican restaurant in Ventura County. Yolanda's.
Are you being audited by the California State Board of Equalization regarding your sales or use tax? The state auditors are now telling business people that have essentially service businesses that they've been mistaken all these years and owe huge amounts of sales tax plus penalties plus interest. You need to know what may turn your non-taxable service business into one where the state demands sales tax on your total gross revenue and how to avoid this. We will represent you with the auditors, appeals, and the courts. Getting representation as soon as you know you're being audited may be crucial. It may be the difference between preventing a minor case turning into a major one, or even criminal investigation and criminal prosecution. I'm tax attorney Steve Moskowitz with over 30 years of tax experience. For an attorney-client privilege consultation, call 888-TAX-DEAL. That's 888-TAX-DEAL. 888-TAX-DEAL. Everyone's running
to Bunnin. At Bunnin GM Supercenter at Oxnard and Simi Valley, they say let 2010 be your best year ever. Isn't it time for you to get running to Bunnin for your new car, truck, or SUV? Bunnin has hundreds with more arriving every day. And with volume pricing and incentives, you won't believe the deal you'll get on red-hot products like the all-new Buick LaCrosse, the fuel-efficient GMC Terrain, or the class and luxury of the Cadillac SRX. Want pre-owned? Why not buy from the best? Bunnin was again voted number one used car dealer in Ventura County by the VC Reporter, and they'll show you why. Bunnin is so easy to find in Simi Valley, and everyone knows 101 DeRose in the Oxnard Auto Center, where Bunnin GM Supercenter welcomes all Saturn customers as their authorized service center. Get running, Ventura County. Get running to Bunnin today. Everyone's
running to Bunnin. And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain on KKZZ AM 1400. That's Ventura's number one positive talk radio show. My special guest today is Mary Jo Buttafuoco. She is the author of the book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull. But before we get back to her, I do have four single scoops from McConnell's Ice Cream to give away. I'll give those away to the second caller who calls in at 639-0008, 639-0008. McConnell's Ice Cream, in case you don't know it, is a Central Coast tradition being produced here in Santa Barbara for over 60 years. Beautiful, wonderful, creamy ice cream made with 17% butterfat using the French pot method. And I've got four single scoops to give away for the second caller at 639-0008. Now, Mary Jo, back to you. You were, you know, just absolutely thrust into the limelight, didn't know what hit you, sort of like a bus must have hit you. Take us through some of the emotions that you had after the shooting and that led up to your public apology to Amy Fisher, or not apology, excuse me, public forgiveness of Amy Fisher.
You know, when I look back, and in a nutshell, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes, my first feeling was anger. I was so angry. I had such anger that this kid came to my house, you know, and invaded my space, and through no provocation of mine, shot me and tried to murder me. And the fact that I didn't die, I just had this rage and anger. I think in the beginning it's what fueled me and kept me going and kept me alive, that she could do this and destroy my family and upset everybody like this. And it took a lot of years for me to get past that. I became very addicted to the pain medication that I was on, and I would use that to kind of numb my feelings because I couldn't stand feeling rage all the time. So it was when I went into the Betty Ford Center 7 years after I was shot to try to get off of these meds that they were the ones that kind of helped open up my eyes and my mind to say, Mary Jo, this happened to you, and this is it for the rest of your life. And, you know, you can go on like this, but you're going to kill yourself. You survived the shooting, but you're dead inside.
Mm.
And they made me realize I have to let this stuff go. I have to if I want to continue living in a you know, a good manner.
So tell us, I mean, you appear to have turned your life around for the better. How did you manage to do that? How did you manage to let go?
Well, it's just a process. Like I said, you know, we're talking in 30 seconds, but this took months and months and years. And I guess it's I have a very good upbringing. You fight when you're down. You just keep going. I have a strong Catholic faith. And that's what kept me going. My kids kept me going, having to be there for them and try to get them through this. You know, you get out of yourself to take care of them. And I look back now, and there are days where I wonder, how did we get through this? How did we survive this? And it was one day at a time sometimes, hanging on by our fingernails sometimes.
Oh, wow. Now, you actually publicly forgave Amy Fisher for shooting you. How difficult was that, and what led you to publicly forgive her?
Well, in apparently in 1999, she was granted a new trial. There was some problems with her lawyer before that. And they came to me and said, you know, what do you think of this? A plea bargain, and she'll get out, but she'll be on 4 years of parole, and it'll be tough parole, and you'll have a say in and all this stuff. And I thought, you know, she was 17 when she did this. She's now like 23 or 24. What kind of life is she going to have? So I thought she should get out and at least see on parole what life is like on the outside. And to be honest, at the time, I didn't think she'd make it. I thought she's too wild and too crazy. She'll wind up going back to jail. But she kind of surprised me in the sense that, you know, she had a curfew. She couldn't go out to bars. She couldn't do anything that a normal 24-year-old could do. And she did it. And I thought, she's got to move on, I've got to move on. Now, certainly she's taken another path as the years have gone by, but that's not my issue or business. I'm just more disappointed for her children that she's gone on the path that she's gone on.
Well,
but it was just something I had to do.
I commend you for being able to do that. I'll be honest with you, I don't think Billy the Brain could let it go that easily. Honestly, it takes a big mind to, even if said in your thought process, that, oh, she needs to see what it's like to be on the outside to experience what some normal people have done. Well, she did an abnormal thing. I'm not so sure I would allow her to feel those normal feelings. How did you get to that point?
That's funny because that's all part of the anger and the rage that I had. And then when you start slowly changing your mindset and saying, I've got to forgive this person for my sake, not for their sake. I have to let this go because it's just chewing me up inside, and I'm not going to live a full life. I'm letting her continue to come to my front door and shoot me in the head if I continue in this way. So it's a choice. You can say, no, I want to be pissed off for the rest of my life, but that doesn't get you anywhere, and it took me a while to learn that.
Very profound. All right. Well, the other thing that just impressed me about your book, by the way, we're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody, author of the book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull. The thing that impressed me is that you were thrust into the national limelight. And in some cases, you know, you were despised, you were the butt of a joke, any number of things people took on for you. What was it like being part of that media circus?
It was insane. To be at home recovering from a gunshot wound and laying in bed, and every talk show is talking about you, every radio show is talking about you, every news program is rehashing your life, the media's outside your front door, they're banging on the door, they've got the satellite dishes up in the air parked in front of your house. It was surreal. Looking back, I remember it well, yet I feel that it was a whole nother life ago. It was unreal. It's something that I could never have been prepared for, nor do I understand really to this day.
It is amazing. And how did you cope, and particularly how did you protect your children with all of this going on?
We had a very good support group. The neighborhood that we lived in, we had been in for 10 years, and we had a lot of good friends and great family. Both of our families lived within 2 miles of us with aunts, you know, extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins. So they helped a lot in taking the kids and shielding them. And thank God, we lived in a day before internet and before cell phones and all that stuff. So it was easy to keep them away from the TV and the newspaper, because that's really all it was. I don't know how we would do it in this day and age.
In the modern, yeah.
But we could do it better then.
Wow, it's incredible. We're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody, author of the new book, Getting It Through My Skull. So I guess the next question is, you've endured all of this. You've made it through. You've obviously turned your life around, and it seems to be moving in the positive direction. First of all, tell us a little bit about your new life. What have you got going on? How have things changed for the better for you?
Well, after I left Joe in the year 2000, I went off on my own, and I was physically better. The children were grown up, and I felt, you know, what do I want? What do I want for me? And I went back to school, and I took 2.5 years to kind of just work on me and taking care of my needs. And it was at a time where I could. And I never thought that I would find anybody again. My only thought was like, what man is going to want to be with me, with my baggage? Who's going to want to deal with that? So I wasn't looking. I thought I had my one chance. I was 47 years old. And I met a man, and, you know, we talked and had fun, and then I fell in love. We had the same values and morals. He had been through something similar with a spouse with drugs and divorce. And we both knew that we didn't, we'd rather be alone than be in a crummy relationship again. We had done that already. And we just connected in a good way, the way mature people do. And we've been together 8 years now, and we've built a life together. And he has 3 children, and I have the 2, and they all get along great, and they consider themselves siblings. So I've been very, very blessed to find a man who shares my integrity and vision for the future.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about him just a little bit. You know, going into that relationship, he knew everything about you. You were sort of on public display.
Right.
You knew very little about him. Did he have any qualms or any problems about you having such a public past?
I think that was one of the biggest things that made me fall in love with him, was that he was not intimidated by my ex-husband. He was not intimidated by what I had been through. He was sympathetic. He was kind. He just had all the qualities. And I thought, this is a man. This is a real man, not the macho type that goes around parading themselves or the big muscles or anything, but a man that's comfortable enough in his own skin that this stuff doesn't bother him. Like my ex-husband, Joey, who was larger than life, didn't faze him in the least, and I thought, this is a man with a sense of self, and I like this.
No, that's great. Do you have any grandchildren?
No, not yet.
Well, that'll come in time.
My 2 aren't married, but I always think that's probably one of their issues. Is, you know, they saw what their mom went through and their dad, and I think they're kind of hesitant on that. On that state right now of marriage.
Ah, well, now they see you in this new relationship. Is that helping to put them at peace at all?
Absolutely. That Stu has been a major force in showing my kids what a real man is and what a real father can be and what a real husband can be. And that's the gift that he has given them.
Oh, that's great. It just seems to me now, Mary Jo, and we're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody, who's author of the book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull. You've gotten to this point where you're at peace, your family seems to be at peace, everything is good. Why did you choose now to write the book?
Because I felt that now I had a message. With the diagnosis, self-diagnosis on my part, of my ex-husband's behavior that had been going on since probably the day I met him but didn't understand it, I realized that people don't understand what sociopathy is. I didn't understand it. And since I've written this book, I've gotten over 1,000 emails of people telling me their stories or thanking me for opening their eyes and making them aware that the relationship they've been in, this is exactly the same pattern. And it helps educate. That's why I did it now, to try and hopefully educate people into understanding if they're in these kind of relationships that they should get out of them and never look back.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you this. What did you get out of writing the book itself? I mean, was it cathartic for you? What did you achieve after having written the book?
It was very difficult to write because I had to relive the worst times of my life.
I bet.
But in the end, it was cathartic that I felt, I'm going to go through this, and I went through this, and this happened to me, but if it's going to help somebody else, then it's worth it. That's what I got out of it.
Oh, that is great. And in writing the book, was there anything that surprised you as you were writing the book or came as a new revelation or shock to you?
Just about how difficult it was, because I'm always honest, and to have to go back and really be honest about my own downfalls, that I became a willing victim in this relationship, that possibly I let it happen because I believed I was trustworthy, I thought he was honest and all that stuff. So I had to kind of come to terms with, you know what, maybe I didn't do everything right in my life either, but in the very beginning of the book, there's a little quote from Maya Angelou, and, you know, to paraphrase it, I put in the front, you know, when I did then what I knew then, but when I knew better, I did better.
Ooh, I like
that. That's kind of how I live my life.
Good for you. We're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everybody, author of the book Getting It Through My Thick Skull. You've got an open mic. You're talking to thousands of people here in Ventura County. Now, if you had to advise others to find peace in their life, what would you tell them?
Well, education is very important. If you feel that you're in a relationship like this, read everything you can about it. Study everything you can about it. You have to take care of yourself. You've got to make it okay for you. Go back to school. Take a yoga class. You know, stop. These people are so toxic that you're involved in, and you have to get away from them, the vortex that you're in with them. So my advice would be take care of you first. And if you have small children, take care of them also, but take care of you first.
Good. Mary Jo, we're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco. How do you want to be remembered out of all of this? You've been in the public limelight, and certainly people have formed their own opinions, but now here's your chance to tell people how you want to be remembered.
Wow, Billy, I never really thought of that, how I want to be remembered. I guess just as a woman who, you know, did the best she could under the craziest of circumstances and hopefully made a little something of my life, and if I helped some people and I raised a couple of good kids along the way, I'm a happy lady.
Well, I think that would be very commendable for anybody. We're talking to Mary Jo Buttafuoco, everyone, and she's the author of a new book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull, Why I Stayed, What I Learned, and What Millions of People Involved with Sociopaths Need to Know. Mary Jo, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Have a wonderful 4th of July holiday.
Thank you so much for your time, Bill. I really appreciate it. And you have a great weekend, too.
Will do. Take care. Thanks.
Okay. Now. Bye.
Bye. Big shout out to Brenda Brandt. She is the winner of the ice cream from McConnell's Ice Cream, and she can redeem that. They're right there in the Mission Bell Motel lobby next to the Pacific View Mall shopping center here in downtown Ventura. And boy, I tell you, that was a compelling interview that we had with Mary Jo. Having been thrust into the limelight like that, I'm not sure that I could have come to the peace, the inner peace that she has achieved in her life. So my hat is off to her. Remember, she's the author of the book, Getting It Through My Thick Skull. Next week, we've got some other great guests that are going to be lined up for you as well, so please stay tuned for those. And remember the other shows that we have here on KKZZ. In the morning at 8 o'clock, we've got two moms, Mike and Matt and a Mike. That's our morning drive time show, and Sandy and Kim help moms of all stripes deal with the daily struggles of balancing kids, marriage, work, doctors, play, just everything that's out there. Freeman Michael's show, he's going to be talking about how to improve your life with a wide variety of guests, and he's just an absolute entertaining MC himself. Of course, my show at 10 o'clock, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, where we talk to thought leaders in business, sports, entertainment, and, of course, our local community. Following me immediately after is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. And she'll be coming up straight up today, right after my show, No News, at the top of the hour. So if you're expecting ABC News, sorry about that. It's going to be Susan Burrell. At noon, from noon to 3, we've got Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and she dispenses her own version of wisdom to call in customers around the country, as she's the number 3 radio personality that's out there. At 3 o'clock, Ventura's own doctor, Dr. Bunny Vreeland, a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist, is going to be interviewing some exciting guests here from our local community. Then from 4 to 6 each evening in evening drive time, it's Driving Home with the Coach on The Business of Life with Coach Ron Tunick, our longest-running and most successful show here on KKZZ. Finally, at 6 o'clock, it's Home Field Sports, discussing local high school and college sports. That's all part of the positive talk radio lineup that we have here on KKZZ AM 1400. And that's what separates us from some of the other talk networks that you hear out there. We have positive guests with a positive message. So if you're tired of all of that negative bantering, all of the rage against the machine, tune in to KKZZ AM 1400. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. Coming up next, Leading the Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end each show by saying, go out there and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow.
To Ventura's News Talk.
There must be something on.